Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 5. Acts, chapter 5. We'll read verses 29 through 32 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Acts, chapter 5, verses 29 through 32. Acts chapter 5, verses 29 through 32. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." I'll read one other verse to you. You need not turn there. Psalm 57, verse 5 reads, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you for your presence here in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for the family being able to get together just to be at church, to hear the man of God open the Word of God, and to teach it, to preach it to us. Father, never again in history will this exact crowd be assembled just this way. Lord, before the world was created, you knew what would happen today. Father, may we pay attention, may we listen, may we give our hearts and our minds to the preaching of the Word of God so that we could get from heaven what you have for us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, if you'll be patient with me, we will get to the main purpose of the sermon, but we'll take a little journey and a little sightseeing tour on the way there. I'm going to remind you of some words that we read together just a moment ago. Psalm 57:5, it says, "Be thou exalted, O God." In Acts chapter 5, verse 29 through 32, as we read that together, we find tucked within that little passage of Scripture where it says, "Him hath God exalted." Him hath God exalted. There are some things in life that I love to do. There's some things in life that I love. One day, Mrs. Owens and I have been married about 25 years, and she one day was probing my mind. I'm not one that tells you a lot about what I like or what I love, and she just got to bothering me about it. And she said, "Please, just don't be so bland and routine and rigorous, and would you just stop and be a human being for just a moment?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And I told her I love balloons. She said, "You love balloons?" I said, "Yeah, I do. I just never talk about it because it kind of seems like a sissy thing to like, so don't tell anybody. But I do. I like balloons. I love to go fishing." I had a friend that back when I lived in Indiana, there was a subdivision that all man-made, had a great big man-made lake there, and the houses surrounding it, and you have to understand, I'm talking 15 years ago, the houses surrounding it, you couldn't live in there, but you were slumming if you lived in a $500,000 home. And this was a rich man's lake, and they stocked it with bass. The only problem was the rich people didn't fish for bass. They took those little jet ski things all over the place in their fancy boats. They never fished, which was better for me. Because a buddy of mine and I had a pass to get out on that lake and we could bass fish. I don't know if I like fishing. What I like to do is catch fish. I think there's a difference, right? Oh, there's nothing like bass fishing and catching fish. And I loved it. I loved fishing. I remember when I was a kid, my dad and I were fishing along a river one day, and I'd never done any fishing with a lure. Dad was bass fishing with a lure, and he brought this big old bass in, and the thing was so big it got to flopping around, and it got out of his hands, and it flipped off the hook, and when it did, its tail swiped that lure, got it caught into my dad's hand. And I watched him work at it, try to get it out, work at it a little bit more. The more he worked it, the deeper it went. That was the first time we ever went to the hospital to have a fishing trip conclude, and they had to cut that thing out of his hand. Dad took me fishing. We went to Virginia Beach. I think the fish that we were catching were called gropers. And somehow there was a certain time when they would come in, and when you would fish off the shore, we'd use three hooks at one time, and we were bringing fish in three at a time. And brother, that was the berries. I thought, this is all right. I love fishing. I hate to say it, but I love cars. You say, well, preacher, you ought to be more spiritual than that. Well, I'm not. I love cars. When I was a kid, I used to have this 1952 Buick Special Super. Everybody else in town had cars, you know, they liked the car that was somewhat near the year of your existence. I had this 52 Buick Special Super. I never forget the day that I got it. My dad had let me go buy a car on my own. I know he thought I was going to bring this sports car home. I brought this big old tank in. And a Buick 52 Special Super had four doors. The white walls on it were about 18 inches wide. It was huge, and the hood opened in every direction. It had a hinge where you could open it from right to left, then you could lock it down and open it from left to right. You could open it from the back and tilt it up. You could open it from the forward and tilt it back, or you could take the right and left sides, put them up and hook them in the middle. I was so cool. I had me a gangster hat. I had this great hat that I wore, and I remember bringing that home, and my dad said, I thought you were an idiot. Now I know you're an idiot. I had a 1972 Dodge Charger. It was kind of had a Starsky and Hutch kind of a paint job. And, oh, I loved that thing. It was gold and brown and had a loose motor mount, so the engine low. But everybody thought there was a great, big, powerful engine. And it'd sit there and go, vroom, vroom. People say, oh, what you got under the hood? And I thought, no, it's a loose motor mount. I had a 1969 Opel GT. I couldn't afford a bed. If you know what an Opel GT is, it's a miniature version of a bed. And I love that thing. I had a 1970 Nova. It was my very first car. It was blue. It's set up high like a monster truck. I made it that way. Put Kreggers on it. Any of you know what Kreggers are? Anybody out there? I had Kreggers on that baby. I put L-Series tires on the back of it. The engine wasn't big enough to hardly turn it. But it looked cool. It was all right. You couldn't go very fast because they rubbed the wheel wells. Then I never had a pickup truck until I moved here. Well, you can have everything in my history. Just give me my four-wheel drive pickup truck. Boy, I love my truck. Now, so you know, I'm coveting. I seen a 1969 Ragtop GTO. I believe God's in it. I feel God moving in my life. I don't know at what age you're allowed to go get something you don't need. And at what age you can go get it and everybody doesn't criticize you for it, but if you hear about a preacher getting picked up in a 1969 GTO, it's me test driving. That's all. But if I'm going to get picked up, they're going to have a race on their hands. And I love cars. I always have. I don't know why. I love fishing. I love hamburgers. I grew up on hamburgers. I like hamburgers. You give me a choice between a big old juicy steak and a hamburger, I'll take them both. We got done with youth conference, and Mrs. Owens, the pressure was on and all this intensity and got to produce and make it happen and do it right. You know, in the world, they go get drunk right after the big pressure. So Mrs. Owens and I, we decided to do what takes pressure off of us. She and my daughter went shopping. That took pressure off of them. Put it right back on me. But she called me and she said, honey, I want to help you relax. She said, I'm bringing you home a hamburger. She stopped at Five Guys down in Winchester. Ooh. You say, what's Five Guys? You evidently are not saved. You've not been enlightened. The Holy Ghost of God has not come upon you. Oh, Five Guys hamburgers are just out of heaven. I'm flying out of Chicago as I travel the country a lot, and when I fly, I love it. Tell you the truth, Brother Bush, anytime I have a layover at Chicago during the middle of the day, I love it. Now, you know me, I don't like layovers. Don't waste my time. Don't waste my life. Get me there. Get me back. Get it over with. You can give me a layover at Chicago because at Chicago they have this place called Johnny Rockets. And it doesn't matter to me if it's 2 in the morning. I'll eat a hamburger for breakfast at Johnny Rockets. We used to have a place called Minor Dunn's that we'd get hamburgers. But I'm not snooty. You give me a quarter pounder with cheese, I'm fine. I like a cheeseburger. I like hamburgers. I also like to hunt. Just so relaxing to me. There's something about killing something that helps me in my ministry. Just every once in a while, Bill blows something away. It just helps me so much. I also like cutting wood for the same reason. My very first time my dad and I went, we went deer hunting together. Dad told me, he said, son, whatever deer we shoot, we're going to mount it because we're doing it together. And we actually left Indiana, Ohio. We came all the way to West Virginia. I didn't know years later this would be the place where I'd spend most of my life and the rest of my life hunting. I remember that day we shot a deer. It's the craziest thing in the world. I was with my dad. My dad was holding the rifle. He shot the deer. The deer took off, ran right into a tree, and then took off. I thought we missed that, or we shot a drunk deer, you know, drunk driving. And Dad just said, oh, it's fine. It's going to be fine. And a little later on, of course, he knew we had to let it bleed out and everything. When we got to that deer, when it had ran into that tree, it knocked off half of its rack. So one antler, it went down. I'll never forget, he said, we're going to mount it. So we mounted that deer with half a rack. Because the first one we got together still hangs at his house. We used to let our kids, when they were little, sleep in my dad's family room when we'd go visit. There was that deer with one antler. My kids were petrified. They thought it was a monster from out of space. We'd say it's a deer. They said, oh, I ain't no deer like I've ever seen. I love to hunt. I remember in 1978, there was a big blizzard where we lived, and it snowed to the point where you couldn't get out. Like the blizzard we had here this last year. Remember back when you were griping, wishing it would be hot? Here, we're all saying, I wish we'd have a blizzard. 1978, there's this blizzard. We got stuck at our house, and my dad, he's a thinker. He had us cutting wood, and we had a wood burner and everything, and he said to us, boys, we're going to go rabbit hunting, or we're going to starve. So we all got our shotguns. We went rabbit hunting, shooting, and we'd shoot and shot one little old rabbit. One rabbit, and there were about 7 of us in the house. Now, there was so much meat. I don't know. I don't know if somehow you can pump steroids into a rabbit after the fact. But then I realized, I went down and checked in the freezer. We ate that rabbit, but there was plenty of rabbit. I went down and checked in the freezer. The freezer was full of food. But Dad took us, he convinced us that we needed to know how to hunt well enough to keep ourselves alive if we had to. I love rabbit hunting, but I've never met a woman that likes it when men shoot rabbits. I don't know why. I think they think it's the Easter Bunny, but really, the Easter Bunny's not, that's not real. I like to turkey hunt. I'm terrible at it, but I like to turkey hunt. I like to play basketball. I grew up playing basketball. I grew up in central Indiana. First word out of my mouth was Bobby Knight. I like basketball. Those of you that want to know who I think the superior basketball player in the history of the game is Michael Jordan. He just had it all. You may not like him, and you may not like his BVDs, but that's your problem. I believe he's one of the finest athletes ever. I love playing basketball. My favorite sport is basketball. Well, other than making out with my wife and eating hamburgers. I like to sport with my wife. I like to eat hamburgers, and I like basketball. Now, let me tell you this about food. I love fried food. You ought not eat it. But I do. I like French fries. I like fried chicken. I like fried onion rings. I like country fried steak. You won't like this, but I like fried green tomatoes. Cornmeal. Oh, my. I like fried potatoes. Brother Mark Rogers, where's Mark at? But Brother Rogers brought me some fresh onions and some homegrown potatoes. Oh, my. There's nothing like it, smelling onions and potatoes frying. Woo! You just want to take it, smear it all over your body. I'll tell you this. I could eat rocks if you deep fry them. Mrs. Owens, I don't know why she started probing one day. She said, just come on, tell me. Tell me. And I'll tell you this. I love my wife. I love my wife. She's my high school sweetheart. We grew up about a block away from each other. She's the icing on my cake. She was a cheerleader in high school. I was a basketball player. We both had gotten saved and decided to live our life differently. We have it at our house, and we've had one for years. When we buy our living room furniture, if with the chairs and the couch, if they do not sell a love seat, I won't buy the set. Because every day of our life that I'm in town, she and I sit beside each other in our love seat. We've got dual recliners. You don't get one that reclines the same for both. You've got to have independent reclining right there. Because that's... I've got to be able to kick back the way I need to kick back. She needs to kick back the way she needs to kick back. And I'm not doing it her way. She's not doing it my way. But we do enjoy being there in the chair together. But we sit in that love seat every day of our life, and we hold hands, and we just sit there. I sit there and drink a sweet tea. She has a Budweiser. Now, if you're a visitor, that's not true. I don't like sweet tea. My wife is everything to me. I think of the story of Job when Job's wife turned on him. I feel very lonely for Job at that point. She's my haven. She's the place where I hide. I love my children. I love them, and I love them all. I love my grandchildren. But all the way at the top of my list, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I think of the story when Peter and Jesus were together. Jesus had been crucified. He'd been buried, and he had been resurrected. And Jesus shows himself to Peter and the other apostles at the Sea of Tiberias. Peter is evidently surrounded by the things he loves, and I'll show you why in a minute. Peter was probably surrounded by the sea and fishing, his friends, boats, the outdoors. Then Jesus asked Peter a very important question in John 21, verse number 15. He says, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Folks, you're to love Jesus more than these.
Yes.
Will you let your love for hunting keep you out of church? Lovest thou me more than these? How about your car? I know people who stay home from church and wax their car. Young people, don't let that ever happen to you. How about a meal? Yeah, we want to go to this nice restaurant and just had to miss church and miss doing something for Jesus for it. Lovest thou me more than these? Well, family was in town, so we stayed home with them, didn't go to church. Lovest thou me more than these?
Yeah.
Lovest thou me? Jesus is at the top of my list. I want to tell you a little bit about it. For instance, I love the songs about Jesus. I love them. Romans 15:9 says, "And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." I like to hear it. I like to hear someone sing, "There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus." I love the songs about Jesus. I don't just like them. I love them. I love to hear people sing, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I've got Him on my mind. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I've got Him on my mind. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I've got Him on my mind." I love the songs. I like to hear, I don't know who sings it, one of our male soloists sings the song, "Oh, What a Savior." And I'll tell you what, that flips my switches. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And He's just the same as His lovely name. You know, the songs about Jesus are not just for the little ones, folks. See, Jesus is my hero. His songs are at the top of my chart ratings. There are a lot of things that I love in life, but I just want you to know I love Jesus the most. He's all the way at the pinnacle of my love relationships, my admirations, and the things that I enjoy about life. And I just love the songs about Him. I'll tell you something else I love about Jesus. I love the love of Jesus. I love the love of Jesus. I love John 3:16 where it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." You know, if this were the only verse we had and there were not any other verses given, that one verse has enough power in it to change the entire world. "For God so loved the world." I love the love of Jesus. I don't just enjoy it. I love it. I love the fact that God loves me. The thought that God loves me. And may I say to you, God loves you. I don't know who you are today. Those of you that are guests and you've come and you didn't know what you're getting into coming to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, I don't know everything that happens today here. I don't know what will be said or done, and there's over probably 1,000+ people here today, but let me say this to you. I've got good news for you. God loves you. I love the love of Jesus. I love to remember it. There's sometimes I forget about it. There's sometimes I forget that God loves me, and then suddenly I remember it, and it reignites a security in my soul. I love to tell people about it. I love Romans 8:39 where it says, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." It said there, height can't separate us. Well, I don't know what that means for sure, but if it means height, how high you can go in the air, that means when I'm flying 40,000 feet in the air, God still loves me. Maybe it means height. Doesn't matter how much status you get in life, God loves you. It says height can't separate. It says depth. I don't know if that means how below sea level you can go, but you can get in the most awesome submarine known to man, but you can't escape the love of God. Maybe low, maybe when it talks about nor depth, maybe it means how low you and I can go in our behavior. I don't care how low you've gone, Christian, God still loves you. He may not be pleased with your behavior, but He loves you. It says, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God." Notice it says, "any other creature." I like that. Man can't separate you from the love of God. Woman can't separate you from the love of God. A child can't separate you from the love of God. A dog can't separate you from the love of God. A fish, a snake, a zebra, you name it. Any creature cannot separate you from the love of God. I love the love of Jesus. I love to concentrate on it. It'd be good for some of you just to sit around and bask in the sunshine of a never-ending, never-dying love that God has for His creatures. I love to share it. I love to sing, "Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world." I love preaching sermons about His love. He loves me when I'm right. He loves me when I'm wrong. You say, "What helped you, Brother Owens?" Love lifted me. See, when nothing else would help, love lifted me. When I was a lost sinner, condemned to hell and deserving hell, love lifted me. But not only that, after I became a saved sinner, and every time I stumble and get myself in a mess, which I do, and by the way, so do you, I thank God that it is love that reunites me with the Lord. It is love that helps me. You see, there are a lot of things in life I love, but I have to tell you, at the top of my love list is Jesus. I love the songs about Him. I love the love of Jesus. I love the story of Jesus. I love the story of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." Folks, I realize it's July. I realize it's been 100 degrees out, but let me tell you something. I love Christmas. I love the Christmas story. It's not Xmas to me. It's all about Jesus. It's about Christ. It's not going to become a winter holiday to me. It's about Jesus. I love manger scenes. I love the story of Jesus Christ. I don't just like it. I love it. I love it. It is a thrill to me. It is a thrill. Any man here that's ever pulled back a bow and let an arrow loose and had the success of putting meat on the table knows a thrill that's hard to describe. You ever seen some of you ladies, you'll see something do it on a DVD or video, and the man's all hyped up and going, and a woman's saying, what's the thrill? You just got to do it. You just have to do it. But let me tell you this, I get the same thrill by telling people about Jesus Christ. Something begins to beat in my heart, and I take the gospel arrow and I pull back, and we hit the bullseye, and the Holy Spirit of God draws somebody to the Savior. It just excites me. I love to tell the story of Jesus. Tell me the story of Jesus. Right on my heart, every word.
Yes.
Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. I love the story of Jesus when he was 12 years of age. His mother Mary and Joseph left him behind in the temple, and he was sitting there at 12 years of age, amazing the doctors of the day. He was amazing them with his doctrinal understanding. You know what that tells me? Teenagers, you don't have to be 25 years of age to do something for Jesus. You can do right, but I love that story about Jesus. I love the story of Jesus. I love the story of him walking on the water. I love that song. Here comes Jesus, and he's walking on the water.
Yes.
He did that.
Man.
I love reading that story. You know, there's sometimes I get in the Bible, I just get to reading the Bible. I'm not really worried about trying to find some doctrine or some truth. I just love reading about Jesus. I just love reading about my Savior and what he did in his life. I love the story of him feeding 5,000 people with a few loaves and a few fishes. I love the story of the resurrection. Oh, I love that story. You know that when he predicted that he would get up out of the grave, the soldiers and the politicians of the day said, we better put soldiers around the grave because he's got a hoax going here. This Jesus says he's going to raise from the grave. We got to put some soldiers around there because somebody's going to break in and they're going to try to steal his body in the night. So we'll put a bunch of soldiers around there. I don't care how many soldiers they put around that grave. He was coming out of that grave. And he come up out of that grave, and boy, was everybody shocked. We ought to still be shocked today. I love the story of Jesus. Hey, that story's not over, by the way. He's coming again. I love that. I love the story of Jesus. I love the virgin birth. I love it that he fed thousands of people. I love it that he healed. I love it that he made the lame to walk. He made the blind to see. He made the deaf to hear. I love it. I love it. I just love the story of Jesus. I love it. I love the story of Jesus. I love the songs about Jesus. I love the love of Jesus. I love the book of Jesus.
Yes.
Psalm 119:97 says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I believe in the old King James Bible. I have no intention of changing my belief in it. I don't believe it's one of many. I believe it's one of a kind. I don't just like it. Some people just like it. I love it. I love it. I love verses about it where the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I love Psalm 12, verse 6 through 7, where it says, the words of the Lord are pure words as silver, tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God told us, he said, I'm gonna take care of it. By the way, God didn't tell you and I that we were the ones that we're going to keep it. He said, I will keep it pure. I love the song, the B-I-B-L-E. Oh, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's a book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Bible. I love it. You know, there's some adults that need to sing that song. You say, oh, it's just a children's song. No, that's an adult song. That's an adult song. I love Psalm 19:10 where it says, more to be desired are they than gold. Did you hear that? Speaking of God's Word, more to be desired are they than gold. Let me ask you a question, adult. Do you love the Bible more than you love your money? Do you love it more than you love your house, your 401k? Do you love the Bible more than you love your gold, and your silver, and your savings account, and your checking account, and your fancy house, and your jewels? I hope I hope that God knows, and I think He does. You ask my family, money really means nothing to me. I have people offer to give me money and give me things all the time, really and honestly. You say, what makes you happiest? Jesus. Jesus. Now, I do need enough money to pay my bills, so don't get any ideas here. More to be desired are they than gold. I'm excited. The Word of God is supposed to be a love of our life.
Yes.
Recently, I was speaking to... Have you ever heard the name Dr. Al Lacey? An old preaching champion of the faith. Dr. Al Lacey will be at our 2011 Old Paths Conference coming, and he's going to preach for us. Not travel anymore. He's a friend of ours and a friend of mine personally. As a matter of fact, I met him the very first time at a pastor school when Dr. Hiles had him many, many years ago. And what a champion for the cause of the Word of God, and I thank God for him. I love it. I love hamburgers. Did I already tell you that? I tell you something else I love now I'm thinking about. I love pizza. I do. Yeah, now we're really getting with it now. There are people here that are getting slain in the Holy Ghost. I told the teenagers, I said, I believe pizza is going to be in heaven. Matter of fact, the Old Testament word, manna, that was left for the children of Israel, in the Hebrew language, that's pizza. I believe God left pepperoni pizza all over the place. You say, but it rotted at the end of the day. I know He wanted them to have fresh pizza the next day.
Right.
He knew what He was doing. I love the commitment that Jesus makes to us. I love it. Hebrews 13:5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hey, born again Christian, He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That word never right there in the Greek means never. Means never. Never leave thee. Wow, what security. You say, well, I left Him. I know, but He didn't leave you. See, you can turn your back on Him when He's not turning His back on you. You won't lose your salvation. Now, you may lose your joy, and you may lose some blessings in life, but you're not going to lose your salvation. You have an unconditional love commitment from God. John chapter 10, verse number 29, it says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He is a shelter in the time of storm. I love the commitment that I have from Jesus. I love the fact that He has committed Himself to me. And He said, Jeff, the day that I saved you and I took you back into my family, I'm just here to tell you I'm going to stick with you all the way to the end. That means I have Him with me from now till the day I die. The day that I die, He will be the one that will escort me home, and I'll live eternally in the heaven with Him. That's great security. That's great security. And let me remind all of you, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. That means you're to come together as husband and wife. You are to be a picture of the relationship between God and His children. We as Christians are the bride and He is the groom. And we're to stay together through thick and thin all the way to the end. I love the commitment that Jesus gives to us. I love the songs about Jesus. I love the love of Jesus. I love the story of Jesus. I love that book of Jesus. I love the commitment of Jesus. I love the name of Jesus. Just that name. Philippians 2:9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. Say, Brother Owens, what's the most important, what's the most influential name in America? It's not Joe. It's not Jack. It's not Jim. It's not Jerry. It's not Jeff. Not Tom. There is a name that is above every name. It's not Don. It's not Dick. It's not Delbert. Not at all. It's not Alex. Not Aaron. It's not Isaiah. It's not Jeremiah. There is a name, though, that is above every name. There is a name, every name in the Bible, and there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And those are all fine names, and I'm glad for those names. And you can go get you a baby book down at Walden Books, and you can go page after page after page, and you can find name after name after name. But I say to you today, the most precious name in history, the greatest name ever written, the greatest name ever sung, the greatest name ever in history is the name of Jesus Christ. And I love that name. There is a name that deserves to be on the billboards. There is a name that deserves to be on the in the headlines. That name is Jesus Christ. I love it. I don't just like it. I love it. Psalm 34:4, it says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Who did I seek? The Lord. That name above every name. I love to hear His name spoken. It shouldn't be used in any way as a cuss word. I don't think you ought to cuss, period. I think some of you need to clean up your language. But if you're going to cuss, you leave my God out of it. You leave my Jesus out of it. That is very offensive. Why would you have to include Him in your filthy talk? Use your mother-in-law's name, not Jesus. Get somebody that deserves it. I love to see His name written. Did you know the Old Testament, there were scribes that would take the manuscripts of the Bible and that they would write them out. They didn't have printing presses like we would have. They didn't have Xerox machines or fax machines or duplicating machines. The Old Testament and the Bible was written, someone would sit down with a pen, they were called a scribe, and they would write out the words of God. They say that an Old Testament scribe, when they would come to the word Jehovah, they would be writing along in the Scripture, copying the Word of God, if you will. They would see that in the Word that they were transferring, they'd see the word Jehovah forthcoming. Right before they would get to the word Jehovah, they would stop their writing. They would go and they would wash themselves, they would change their clothes, and they would pick up a brand new quill to write the name Jesus. Because they felt like it was so precious and holy that it should be treated better than the other words. You see, it's a holy name. It's a powerful name. It's a name of depth. It's a name of love. It's a name of integrity. It's a name that ought to be exalted and uplifted. It's a name that ought to be put on high. I love to hear them sing His name. I love to see His name signed. I love to hear His name read. I love to hear His name preached. I love sermons about Jesus. There are other things that I must preach from the Bible because the Bible teaches I'm to preach the whole counsel of God. But boy, do I love talking about Jesus. Philippians 2:10 says that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things of earth and things under the earth. There's coming a day. There is coming a day when all the scoffers and the mockers, all the people that have hated God, the atheists and those that have tried to destroy Christians and anything attached to the name of Jesus, there is coming a day. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Let me tell you what I think is going to happen someday. All the scoffers, all the rejecters, all the God-haters, one day will stand before Him. And all God will have to do is say the name of Jesus, and they will all fall to the ground and finally bow to the One that has the name that's above every name. There are a lot of things in life I love. I'm just telling you today about the thing that's at the top of my list. We are to exalt His name. When Mrs. Owens and I were in high school and dating, I remember I had gone over to her home, her mother there to chaperone, and they had a little, by the telephone, some of you won't remember this, they used to have a rotary thing on a telephone. You stick your finger in, you turn it, and it goes, that's, you know, cell phones have not always been here, so you know. And then she had a little table, and they put the phone there. Phone huge, weighed about 572 pounds. And didn't have, you know, didn't have a little 2-inch square thing that you talked into. You had this great big thing, you grab it, and had a big old arm that came down, and you held on to that thing as a handle. It was also a weapon against brothers and sisters, and maybe something good, solid to hang on to. Had a cord that connected the receiver and things. And I went over to this little table that was sitting there, and I noticed that she had been sitting at that table with a pad of paper. That time we were dating and soon to be married, but I seen that on a piece of paper she had written my name, Jeffrey Allen Owens, Jeff Owens, Jeff A. Owens, Jeffrey A. Owens, Jeff Owens, and then she started writing her name, Sherry Owens, Sherry Owens. We weren't married yet, but I seen her write my name. She wrote it over and over and over and over again. The other day I was at the airport. I pulled out a piece of paper, and I wrote down the word Jesus, and I wrote it again, 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 and I wrote it again. I just filled the paper with the word Jesus. She wrote my name because she loved me. She wrote my name as an expression of her respect and love for her soon-to-be husband. But folks, we are to exalt Him. Some of you just need to go home and write His name. Remember who He is. Remember what He is to you. There are a lot of things I love. I love the songs about Jesus. I love the love of Jesus. I love the story of Jesus. I love the book of Jesus. I love the commitment that Jesus has to me. I love the name of Jesus. And I love to talk about Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:23 it says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks a foolishness." But it says here, "We preach Christ crucified." I love to preach about Jesus. Some of my most exciting sermons are the sermons when I get to talk about my Savior and talk about my Jesus. I can be honest, there are certain times when I come to the pulpit, the content, the preparation, the thoroughness of the sermon, it weighs heavily on my mind and on my heart. But I have to tell you something. Anytime I preach on Jesus, there is a relaxed feeling about me that just puts my total body at ease. I stand before you today at ease in the presence of my God. I stand today telling you about Jesus, and I am having so much fun. I hope God will understand this is better than a Five Guys hamburger to me. Hey, it's better than that 69 GTO. This is what Christians are supposed to feel. Slow down, Christian. Slow down. Get your eyes back on the focal point of the Christian life. Get your eyes on Jesus, my friend. He deserves it. He loves you. Every good thing that's ever happened to you is a result of Jesus Christ. I love to preach Him. I love just bringing Him up in conversation. I was in a gas station one day, and I wear a suit and tie just everywhere I go, in the shower, everywhere. I was at a local gas station when I was there. I had somebody, we were all standing in line. Somebody said to me, they said, they were talking about something. They looked back and said, "Well, you look nice today. You must be a lawyer." I thought for a second. I said, "Well, in a way." I said, "My father is a great judge." I said, "Is?" I said, "Yes. Matter of fact, my father is the most powerful judge in the universe." They said, "Oh, wow. Supreme Court," I said, "higher." "So who is your father?" I said, "Glad you asked." I said, "My father is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm one of his lawyers. I study his law book continuously. And I can get you off your death penalty." I love bringing up Jesus. You can clear a room just like that. It's just like some of you. I can walk up to you while you're talking in the hallway. You change your subject immediately. Hey, Let him be a part of your conversations.
Yes.
Teenagers, let me teach you something. When's the last time you talked to your friend about Jesus?
Yes.
Say, that'd be square. Oh, no, that'd be round. Parents, have you ever had a conversation with your children about Jesus? What would be wrong with the families in the church this week sitting down at a meal and saying, you know what? The entire conversation tonight is going to be about Jesus. See, I've never heard of anybody doing that before, but does he not deserve it? You spent your time talking about Hollywood, and you spent your time talking about the person that let you down at the church, and you talked about all that's bad in life. Why don't we just talk about Jesus for a little while? The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords Supreme. Throughout eternity, let's talk about Jesus. You say that would be highly irregular. You can get right with God. Hey, you adults. You, if you'll come to church on Wednesday nights like you ought to, there's some of you, had you been here when I taught the biblical philosophy of fellowship, you would know. We get together, get to fellowshipping. It doesn't take any time at all before we've left good things we're supposed to talk about and we start talking about people.
Yes, sir.
You say, how do I head that off? Just right in the middle when people get to getting talking about people, why don't you say, I don't think Jesus wants us to talk about this. Somebody will start sucking air. You say they may die. Well, if they're saved, they have eternal security. Parents, talk to your kids about Jesus. The average husband and wife never talks about Jesus.
Right.
So that's just for church. Is that really what we believe? You're religious, not Christian.
Right.
Religious people, well, you keep it down there at the house of God. Listen, God doesn't live in this house. He lives in your heart. You're taking Him everywhere you go. You need to let Him out. Open your mouth and let Him out. If you talk, listen, you talk about people more than you talk about Jesus. That's sad, isn't it? Some of you adults that are in the era of the arena of dating, which by the way, you better protect yourself or you're going to be immoral.
Yes,
guard your reputation. But let me tell you something. Won't you just make sure every date you talk about Jesus? See, that's not very romantic. Jesus will keep you romantic more than the old world will ever dream of keeping you romantic. Jesus understands something about what real love is. You're not going to have the kind of love that your spouse needs unless you get it from Jesus. Jesus does not eliminate good marital bliss. He increases it. And don't you let the world lie to you about that. I don't like much to go out to eat. I preach, and, you know, preachers, they like to fellowship. They like to get together, and I understand it. It's a very rare occasion after a preaching service at a conference as I travel the country that I'll ever go out to eat with a group of preachers. Now, some I may go out with an individual if I trust their mouth. You say, you're talking about preachers. I know what I'm talking about. But I'll tell you this. If I knew that I could go out with a preacher and he wanted to talk about Jesus after the service, I could handle it. If you'd like to talk about Jesus in Sunday school and Jesus in the bus ministry and Jesus and church services and Jesus in good music, but the minute he has to turn toward people and the faults of people, I want to get out of there. Don't spend my life talking about the dirty, the nasty, and the negative. Or spend my life talking about Jesus, the King of Kings. You say, preacher, you don't live in the real world. I live in the real world. I'm just not of the real world. Hey, are you saved? If you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? You say, 100% sure you can be? Oh, yes. You can know that you're saved according to 1 John chapter 5. Yes. Are you born again? If you died this very day, are you sure you'd go to heaven? If you're not, I've got good news for you. Jesus is the Savior. The Bible teaches that you're a sinner. It says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible teaches that there is a penalty for your sin. It says, for the wages of sin is death. Hey, but the Bible teaches that Jesus paid that penalty. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Nobody else can save you. The gift of God is eternal life, not through you, but through Jesus. Not through me, but through Jesus. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't work your way to heaven. Jesus did all the work when he lived a holy, righteous, perfect life. After having been born of a virgin, he died for you and resurrected for you. There was work that was put into the opportunity called salvation, but it was not yours. It's a free gift to you. And the only one that can provide salvation. There's not salvation in any other name given under heaven except that of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're not on your way to heaven, you need to trust the Jesus I've been talking about. I remember the night that I trusted Him. I had made a profession of faith. I told some people I was saved, but I wasn't. And I knew it. You say, why? Because when the plan of salvation was being given to me, I was playing around and wasn't concentrating. And when I prayed, I was not in my heart. I was not serious. But I told some people, I got saved. And everybody said, yeah, you got saved. But one night I was at church and it occurred to me that if I died, I would go to hell because I had never asked the Lord to save me in the purity and in sincerity of my heart. And that night I got home from church and I got on my knees by my bed in my room. I didn't need anybody to lead me to Christ. I'd learned the plan of salvation. I took my little red Gideon's New Testament that they'd given me in the public school. I opened it up. I took myself to the Scriptures. I bowed my head. I closed my eyes. And I said to myself, self, if you're going to mean this with every fiber of your being, I shut everything out. I prayed and asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. I went to my knees a lost man, come up off of my knees a saved man on my way to heaven. Never doubted it since, been saved ever since that night. But the one that was there with me in my room, it was Jesus. Jesus, the sweetest name I know, the Savior. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something that's better than your car.
Yes.
Better than your house. Better than the food that tantalizes your taste buds. It's salvation. The security that Jesus Christ brings.
Yes.
There are a lot of things I love in life. I'll tell you what. I love my marriage.
Yes.
Boy, our marriage wouldn't be what our marriage is if it were not that Jesus were at the top of our list. He's the one that makes everything what it ought to be. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.